Do you know we're designed to actually live in the rest of the Lord? You and I have been designed to live in the rest of the Lord. Hebrews 4 and 2 tells us there's a day, because those who were supposed to didn't, because they didn't mix the promise with faith, and it profited them nothing. That's what the Bible says. So this morning, I want us to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, and allow faith to rise in your heart. Because the Bible does say that we will experience tribulation. Another word for tribulation is trouble. All right? You will experience, and I will experience, trouble in life. Life is full of trouble. Life is full of troubled people. Amen? And some of them only God can help. But whether they're troubled or they're in trouble or they're troubling me, I should be one that changes not. I shouldn't be moved by the trouble. Amen? I've got to understand that Jesus is in the midst of the boat and he's asleep in the midst of the storm. He's asleep. He's at rest in the midst of his storm. He's at rest. And he had a word to speak to the storm. Come on. He spoke to the wind and the waves. He said, peace. Be still. And there's a word locked up inside of you that can speak to your own trouble. Amen. You don't need to run to a prophet to get a word of the Lord in your trouble. Go to the prophet, Christ. Amen. I'm not against prophets, don't get me wrong. We need prophets. But I don't need someone to prophesy over me to get me out of my trouble. The answer to my trouble resides within me. His name is Jesus. Amen. And my Bible says he's not the author of confusion. So if he's not the author of confusion, he must be the author of peace. Amen. Your God wants to bring you into his rest. His perfect rest. Not just some rest, absolute rest. So no matter what trouble is throwing at me, and don't get me wrong, we will go through troubles. And just sometimes in life, trouble will rob me of my faith to believe the promise. Amen? And then the promise becomes of no effect to me because it's not mixed by faith. Are you with me? So I've got to keep faith at the forefront at all times. And the faith is not in God rescuing me. The faith is in God himself. Amen? Are you with me? Because if all I'm seeking God for is a solution, I've missed the point. I have to seek God for God. I've got to cast my cares upon him and leave my cares at the foot of the cross. My weariness, because trouble brings a weariness to soul. Yeah? Anyone experience weariness? Yeah. Amen? You went to bed and you get wake up tired? Anyone who ever went to bed and woke up tired? Yeah. And sometimes, it's not that you lack sleep. Sometimes you've been wrestling in the spirit. Sometimes you've actually been wrestling in your sleep in the spirit realm. And not just you. Heaven itself has been wrestling on your behalf. Amen? So God rested on the seventh day and called that day the Sabbath. The word Sabbath literally means rest. That's what it literally means. Amen? God didn't need to have a rest. God designed the rest for you and me. So I can contemplate on all the things that he has done. Remember, he finished everything. He said it was complete and he saw it was good. And then he rested. Amen. You got to understand that it's been completed by Christ. It is good, and he expects you to rest. Amen. But some of us, like the most of us, sometimes negate our Sabbath. So the Sabbath day is not specific. Well, it is a specific day. It's a day. But the reason for the day is for you to learn to rest. He just calls it the Sabbath day. But the word Sabbath means it's a rest day. Amen? Are you with me? We've got to understand that he actually commands us to have a Sabbath. He understands that we need to have a Sabbath. He understands we need to draw back from the days, the life of the days of the week. Sit back and meditate on the goodness of God. Actually meditate on Him. Think about Him. Think that He's given you breath in the morning to get up. Think that you've still got your health for the day. To thank Him that He's rescued you through the week. In fact, He's rescued you and I for things that we might never even known about. Amen. He's stepped in. He's opened the door. He's closed doors on your behalf. And some of us get upset thinking that that door should have stayed opened. But not necessarily is that door of God. It might be a good idea, but not a God idea. And He saved you in the weeks or the months to come from problems and trouble. Your God is forever working on your behalf. Amen. Sometimes silently. Turn with me to the book of Psalms 62, 1 and 2. It says, "My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress." This is David. "I will never be shaken." Isn't it wonderful? What a confidence he's got. Isn't it wonderful that David could have such a confidence in his God that he said, "I will never be shaken. You alone are my rock and my salvation. You are my fortress. I will never be shaken." But did God, David ever get shaken?
Yeah.
Yes, he did. Of course. So when things are going well, I can say that. But in Psalm 22, verse 1, 2, and 3, he was shaken. If it says in the NIV and the Amplified, he was robbed of his rest. So there is troubles that can come and rob me. It didn't rob him of his enthusiasm and his trust in God. But it can certainly rob me of rest. Amen. So sometimes, just sometimes in life, I've got to go through things to develop something in my inner man that has a trust in the Lord in every situation. Job 3, there's a man called Job. He had challenges. You've got to understand Job. If you've read the book of Job, you'll understand what I'm saying. Job was a man that was remembered by God. In fact, in chapter 1, it'll say things like this. Satan comes before the Father and he says to accuse the brethren. Revelation also says the same thing. And the Father says this, the Lord said this. "Do you remember my servant Job?" Eh? He said, "He has got no guile within him that worships me." And the Lord esteems Job. Amen. Job had a reputation with God. And then all of a sudden, trouble hit. Trouble hit. The devil is allowed to be released and touch what belonged to him. And then in chapter 2 and 3, I believe it says this. It says, then all of a sudden, his oxen and his servants were destroyed. The Sabians came. Amen. The next one, then it says, while the servant was given this report, he says, and I'm the only one left, and I've come to give you this report. And then while he's speaking that report, another servant comes. I mean, he hasn't even finished. And someone else has jumped on the bandwagon. And then he says, your sheep and your servants have been killed from fire from heaven. And I'm the only one left. And while he's still speaking that one, another servant comes. I'm talking about, and this is a continuous source of trouble. It's not like you've got a week's break or a month's break or a year's break. There's a problem after a problem after a problem. The third problem was a great wind came and blew your son's house down and all your family's dead. Well, I haven't experienced that, but that's trouble. Yet he had done nothing wrong. Trouble comes to everyone. All right? Trouble comes to everyone. His response for the bad reports was to position himself, this is Job, was to position himself to stay in faith. If anyone had a reason to complain, if anyone could have a whinge session. If anyone had a reason to say, why God, it was Job. He didn't just lose his kids. He lost income. He lost his estate. He lost everything. The only thing he didn't lose was a whinging, whining spouse. I did write wife, but I can't say that because some husbands are whinging and whining as well. So I just put spouse. Oh, yeah, yeah. God knows that even though you've got trouble, some troubles don't leave. I love what the Bible says in the book of Genesis. It says to Adam, behold, God presents the woman to him. And he says, he made her comparable to him. The Bible doesn't say compatible. It says comparable. Because compatibility takes a lifetime of marriage. That's why it's stupid when the world say things like, I'm getting a divorce because we're not compatible. Well, of course you're not. These two shall become one. Not they are one. They become one over a lifetime. And hear me, it will take you a lifetime because in the midst of your life, you will change. And she will change. And in the midst of the change, you've got to change again and become compatible. Amen? So please never bring that excuse up to God. He'll laugh at you. You're comparable to one another. Amen? Compatibility is the yielding of oneself to become one. The woman learns to submit as the man learns to die. No dying, no submission. You might get obedience, but that's not submission. I can get a dog to be obedient out of fear. I can whack a dog so much that it is so scared of me that it will do exactly what I say. Submission is not that. Submission is an act of love. And if she ain't feeling loved. Another footnote in here. I know I'm off the topic a little bit. The man is the glory of the Lord. Is that what the Bible says? Corinthians? Thanks, darling. The man is the glory of the Lord. The woman is the glory of the? Who is she the glory of? So when there's a trouble and a union, right, he might be all smiley and happy. But if she's down and discontent, right, I know the trouble's with him. Because she should be shining. She's his glory. Come on. Maybe I started this a bit too hard, too early. If she is not shining, the problem's with him. If you're not shining, the problem's with you, because Lord hasn't got a problem. The problem's with you. You're his glory. You better get that relationship right with him. And out of that relationship, that shining of you brings her forth her glory, and she should be shining because of the relationship you have with her. But if you're not prepared to die, if you're not prepared to die, gentlemen, right, don't expect submission. Anyway, off the topic. His response was to position himself and stop and worship. In the midst of it all, when he heard all these reports, when he heard all the catastrophe that had just developed, one thing after another, I'm not talking about a little break, I'm talking about a continuous report is happening. Three stages of his life wiped out. Knowing he's done nothing wrong. Knowing that he's the apple of God's eye. Knowing that he's talked about in heaven. He's got a reputation in heaven. But things happen. Bad things happen to good people. And sometimes, and I want to be quite frank here. Christians, we don't know the answers to everything. And sometimes people need to hear the honesty of that. And when they say, why has this happened? It's all right to say, I don't know. I don't know. I really don't know. But I do know this. Your God loves you. That's one thing I am sure of. Amen. And all this, Job, it says in Job 1:22, and all this Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. In other words, he didn't go to God and say, why God, why? Or why have you allowed this to happen? He didn't blame God. He didn't charge God. He didn't say, God, you're wrong. He didn't try. When he said them things and saying, you're not wrong, he also was saying this, I don't blame my husband or my wife. I don't blame the person next to me. I don't blame the situation. I don't blame them. Right? God, in you I trust. I refuse to get into the blame game and trying to find the fault of who's right and who's wrong. Amen? Because when you measure right and wrong with another person, your right might be their wrong and their wrong might be your right. It's how you perceive things. The only way I can measure the truth is with the word of God. Amen? So he got himself in a position. He got himself in a position to worship. He stopped what he was doing. Immediately, he stopped the blame game. He didn't go to his wife and say, what have you been saying? She had a tongue on her. She said to him, why didn't you just curse God and what? Die. Oh, she had a sharp tongue. No wonder he was living on the rooftop. No. He had a sharp tongue. She was contentious. God didn't get rid of that contention. But he didn't blame his wife. He didn't go, what have you said? What's your problem? Have you been doing something? Da, 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 da. He didn't go to the person that brought the assault upon him and say, why have you treated me such? Why have you done this to me? He didn't do any of that. What he did, he positioned himself and he said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the... In other words, Lord, whether you take, whether you give, I'm still calling you blessed. I'm not going to change how I think of you because my season has changed. I refuse to walk in condemnation or in the guilt of what's happened. Here's another one. You've got to forgive yourself. You've got to stop blaming yourself. You take it to the Lord. He positioned himself to worship. Catastrophe struck. But he got in a place of worship. That's why worship is so important. Worship will disconnect you from your trouble as you glorify his name. Because you're no longer thinking about your trouble. You're thinking about him. The problem solver. Amen? What is my mouth full of? He stopped himself from blaming God. He stopped himself from blaming others. He stopped himself from blaming himself. Whose report will you believe? Will I believe this report? Or will I believe the report of the circumstance? Will I believe this report? Will I believe what he is saying about me and about the situation? Or will I believe the report that my servants are bringing? Will I believe the report that the enemy whispers in my ears? Oh, your God's let you down. Or if God said, will I believe that report? And the challenge is to stay in a place of confidence and of faith, believing the report of the... Come on now. What's his report? His report's a good report. Whether I suffer circumstances or situations, whether I suffer trouble, doesn't matter. I know my Bible says all things will work out together for the good to them who love God and are the called according to his purpose. How many things? All things. In my now moment, it mightn't seem that way, but it's in the pressure of the moment. Can I bow the knee and worship him? Can I bow the knee and give him thanks? Can I bow the knee and remind myself of the goodness of God? Hallelujah. And all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. Next one, son. So like David, like Job, and there was another man like Paul. He was Paul, locked in a prison. The lowest prison, the king's dungeon. They were singing hymns. The king's dungeon is the lowest dungeon you can go to. It's the most secure dungeon. The jailer put him in there, and all of a sudden he started hearing a different sound, a singing of hymns. Remember that? I think it's Acts 16, somewhere in there. Singing another song. Not a song of hopelessness, not a song of despair, but a song of joy and a song of love, a song of adoration. It says, "Then the Lord shook the very foundations of the prison, and every prison door opened." Hear me, in the midst of your praise, in the midst of your worship in your lowest place, it will open effectual doors. And as there was a shaking, the warden of the prison thought they had escaped, and Paul says, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." And then he said, he called for a light. And that amazes me, that it was the warden, it was the prison guard that needed the light. Paul didn't need the light. He was the light. In the midst of your darkest moment, can you be the light to those who are in darkness? He called for the light. It was the jailer that needed the light. He couldn't see. Paul was full of light. Paul was full of confidence. Remember, even though he was in a prison, he still had the joy of the Lord. He had still had the confidence that his God was more than able. He still had his confidence that God will make room and make a way. And all he saw it was as an opportunity. It says that the warden called for light. He got saved. What must I do to be saved? And him and his whole house got saved. The next morning, Paul was released. Amen. Sometimes God takes you into unusual situations that you think might be trouble. But really, sometimes all the trouble's there for you to do is to reveal the light. Reveal the light. But if you're constantly talking about the trouble, as a man thinks, as a man what? So he is. Are you going to talk the problem? Are you going to glorify the solution and the one that gives you the solution? All of us have experienced a dark place. If you're really born again, I know we can have a nice talk about the goodness of God and that he always makes room and makes a way. But sometimes, just sometimes in your life, he will allow you to experience trouble. And he wants that trouble to challenge you and change you to think like he thinks and act like he acts. So in the midst of my dilemma, in the midst of my problem, I will shine the light of Christ. And I will be singing him a song, hello Job, sing him a song of worship in the midst of my trouble. And I will see the prison doors opened, not just for me, but those around me. Hallelujah. I don't know, it's not a popular gospel. But in fact, trouble helps me to mature. God doesn't orchestrate your trouble, but he certainly uses trouble. Amen. So like David, like Job, like Paul, in a deep prison singing hymns, they found an enduring rest. Not a temporary rest, but an enduring rest. They found an enduring rest. And some things, sometimes we run to things of the world to give us peace and rest. We pacify ourselves. We might go shopping. Or I might go to Bunnings and buy myself a laser level or something. I might pacify myself. And they're all temporary peace. That's all temporary peace. Because after the joy of that, my trouble's still there. There's only one person that can give you eternal peace. One person that can give you eternal rest. And his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Amen. It's got to learn that you'll find your rest of your soul. In good times or bad circumstances, do not dictate my peace or the lack of it. It is God who imparts inner peace. Hear me. Where your God is, there is rest. Regardless of what is going on around me, John 16:33 says this. Jesus states, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have what? You may have what? Peace. In me you may have peace. Where's peace found? In a person. Peace is found in a person. And his name is Jesus. In the world you will have tribulation or trouble, but be of good cheer, take heart, have confidence. See the word confidence? Have confidence. I have overcome the world. So in him, he offers his victory and his peace of mind and his heart to us. Jesus has already overcome your trouble. Jesus has already have the solution for your problem. But I will not find it in things. I will find it in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the key that Job had. He immediately, in the midst of his trouble, he positioned himself to worship because he knew he had to get in the presence of God Almighty to receive the rest and the peace that he needed for his soul. And if anyone needed peace, he needed peace. I've never experienced what he experienced. And then the next phase of his life, I wouldn't want to experience all the boils, all the negativity of his so-called friends. I don't need that in my life. Matthew 11:28 says, Jesus said, come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. How do I get the rest? I've got to come to him. Hear me, you've got to come to him. You've got to come to him. When trouble is surrounding my soul, I come to him, first in worship. Then I give him my burden. Philippians, I believe, chapter 4, teaches me, 6 and 7, teaches me how to give to him. I have to be specific in my giving of my burden. I can't just go, oh Lord, I've got troubles, please help me. No, no, no. Be specific with your burden so then your burden is given to the Lord and he can answer the burden, not generally, but straight to the problem. And then when I feel weary, most Christians feel weary in well-doing because they are troubled in heart or soul. Anyone ever felt weary? We're all acting really good Christians this morning. Like, you've got no problems at all. You can pray for me after then. Has anyone really ever felt weary? Yes. Have you felt weary in battle? Yes. Have you felt weary in waiting for God to fulfill what you've asked him to do? Have you felt weary with your spouse? Yes. Praise the Lord, some of us are true. We've all felt weary. There's nothing wrong with that. But what do I do with the weariness? I've got to cast it to him. I've got to give it to him and get reinvigorated, infused with the things of the Spirit so I can walk out of here in rest and peace. I can be in the boat with Jesus and say, move along. I'll sleep next to you in the midst of my storm. As long as I know he's in my boat, I'm safe. Jesus could rest in the midst of his boat because he had a word from his Father to go to the other side. Is that what the Father said? He only went there because his Father told him to go. He doesn't do anything unless his Father tells him. He had a word to go to the other side. Therefore, he didn't care what the storm was trying to do in the middle of the journey. He had a word that anchored him that he was going to go to the other side. You have a word that can anchor your soul and anchors you in the midst of your journey. No matter what storm of hell comes against you, there is an anchor to your soul because the word is pure, the word is true, and the word is right. He will fulfill what is said in his word. His word will not return. You have words spoken you over you, and that word will be accomplished. Amen. So when the storm comes, you can sit back in your boat. You can say, Jesus, move along. I'm going to be right next to you. I'm going to have a little nap with you. Anyone suffer, has naps in the middle of the day? As you get older, sometimes you have a little nap. A little kip, you know. Just a little nod off. A nana nap or a grandpa nap. But sometimes, just sometimes you take a nap. And God wants us to rest in Him, knowing that His Word is absolute and His Word is true. Amen? Trouble will want to keep you awake. Trouble will want to keep you awake in your midnight hour. Trouble will want you to spend energy on worrying about something when you can't change the something you're worrying about. What God wants you to do is say, Lord, I trust You. Lord, in the midst of my problem, God, You have a way of escape. God, in the midst of my situation, You will work out this together for the good. God, I thank You in Jesus' name that, Lord, You're my rest. The situation's not my rest. You're my peace. The situation's not my peace. I can't get my peace from people, and I can't get my peace from things. My only place of peace is You. The minute you start putting your trust in people, hear me, they will be like Job's friends sometimes. They will let you down. And they don't mean it. A lot of times they really don't mean it. They just haven't got the wisdom with it. I need to hear from heaven. Come on, you and I need to hear from heaven. But if you are not in a place to position yourself to worship, you can have all the promises in the world. But if you haven't got the faith to mix with the promise, Hebrews 4 and 2, they come to nothing. It will not profit you. It will not, 4:12, is it? I said 4:2, didn't I?
No, not 4:12.
4:2? Yes, 4:2. Believe me. It will not profit you. I must have promise with faith. Therefore, these men, mighty men of God, refuse to allow their faith to be shaken to such a point, to be robbed by trouble, that they come in a place of anxiety, anxiousness, wondering how it's going to work out. Your God has already got your plan worked out. What I've got to do in the midst of my storm, stay in faith. Faith. Stay in your faith. Rest comes from a person called Jesus. He says, come to me. Rest is available if we come to Jesus. Come to me, He will turn no one away. He says, come to me, all, with all of you. He never turns anyone away, Jesus. Amen. Rest is a gift. He says, I will give you rest. He freely gives it. Amen. You don't have to beg God for rest. It was freely given. Come to me, all you that labor and heavy, and I will give you rest. 31 says, and He said to them, come aside by yourselves. They had just experienced miracles, signs and wonders. There they were serving the people. Jesus said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. Sometimes in your rest, to get rest, you need to separate yourself from everything around you. Isolate yourself, get in a place of your closet, and start to seek Him with all your heart and worship Him. Worship Him for who He is. Worship Him for who He is. And in that place, you will find rest. And there were many comings and goings. They didn't even have time to eat. In other words, they were so busy doing the work of the Lord, they forgot the Lord of the work. And most of us are like the rest of us. We like to know the three steps to this and the four steps to that. And if I do these five steps, it'll all work out to good. Sometimes God doesn't ask you to take a step. Sometimes God asks you to be still. Be still and know that I am God. Just still your heart. Still your mind. Still it from the troubles. Still it from the problems. And know that I am God. Do I need to find inner peace? Do I need to find a restful heart in my life? Then I need to come to Him. Get some rest. It's in Him. Rest is not a removal of trouble. Rest is knowing that the person who is with you, knowing the person who is with you is in the midst of your trouble. He's in the midst of it. He's in the midst of everything you're doing. All I've got to do is turn to Him instead of looking at the trouble. All I've got to do is turn to Him instead of looking at my problem. You sung a song this morning. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in my darkness. My God, that is who You are. What I've got to do is believe it. And I've got to let his voice be louder than my trouble. Amen. And rest in the midst of my storm. 1 Peter says this. So the answer is to get aside alone, learn to rest and have in his awesomeness, his power, developing a confidence in the supremacy and absoluteness of Christ. Hear me. You don't have to doubt that Jesus Christ is God. He is absolute. He is absolute. There is no shadow of turning in him. He is absolute in everything. He is almighty God. He is all powerful. He knows all things. He knows the very numbers of the hairs on your head. He knows your ins and your outs. He knows your thoughts and your intents. He knows everything. He is God. The same Christ who invites his people to cast his cares upon him. Why would Jesus say, cast your cares upon me? The next line says this, for he cares for you. And a lot of Christians struggle with allowing God just to love them for themselves. You don't have to prove anything to God for him to love you. For yet while you are still a sinner, come on, while you are yet a sinner, Christ died for you. There's no greater love than that. I've got to sit back and learn to receive the love of God in the midst of my trouble. Cast all your cares upon him, 1 Peter says, for he cares for you. Here's a couple of principles of gaining relief from anxieties and cares that rob me from rest and peace. Cast your cares on him. It takes a decision. The Holy Ghost can come to you day in and day out and say, come on, cast your cares on him. Oh, not yet. I don't. Yeah, if he really loved me, he'd just deal with it. Oh, you know, why did God allow that to happen? Cast your cares upon him. Take it's a decision. Don't just stay weighed down. Consciously unload the care, that anxiety, that burden from your shoulders onto the Lord. I've got to give it to him. I've got to take it to the cross. I've got to invite him into the situation and say, Jesus, it's yours. Number two, cast all your cares and anxieties on him. If you only give him some of them, the other cares will still be robbing me of my peace and joy. Cast all your cares upon him. Not some of them, all of them. Every one of them. Cast it upon him. Take heart, says in John 33, I have overcome the world. Take up the invitation. The one you're casting your cares on cares for you. It's an invitation. Jesus is inviting you to cast your cares because he cares for you. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe your God cares for you that much that he wants you to walk in absolute peace and have a day of Sabbath, walk in the rest of God? Have your promises mixed with faith so you come into the purposes of heaven. Amen. And when trouble is smiling at me, I'll smile back and say, you too will pass. Amen. This too will pass. Amen. Yea, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. No matter how dark the valley is, it's only a shadow. There's a light in the midst of it. Amen. God wants his people to understand the hour we're living more than ever before. And I'm telling you now, there is trouble in the world. I'm talking about serious troubles. Serious, serious troubles. And they're trying to impose their troubles on the house. I won't go there. You can't and I can't afford to get caught up in their troubles. But if trouble is imposed upon me without breaking the laws of God, I know I've got to have a place of rest in the midst of it all and that God will work it out for my good. And all of a sudden, I believe with all my heart in the day we're living in, God will get some glory out of this. I believe we're going to see an outpouring of the Spirit of God like never before. And I'm going to say, I see the people in the valley of decision coming out of that valley and choosing the way of truth. Amen. Because they're coming to a place where they're hearing so many voices in the world. They're even contradicting each other. Confusion reigns. It's a spiritual battle. Hear me. I do not fight flesh and blood. It is a spiritual war we are in. But in the midst of my war, I can have rest and I can have peace. Glory to God. Amen. Let's stand this morning. I really believe he wants to encourage his church. Keep your peace, which guards your hearts and your minds. Keep it. Don't let the guard down. Keep your peace. But stay in a place of rest, knowing your God has all things in hand. Amen. Everything. Absolutely everything. Nothing surprises God. Nothing. You might be feeling weary. You might be feeling burdened. There's an invitation to you this morning to give it to him. I've got to give him it all. Otherwise, if I keep some back, a residue of it back, it will still keep me weary. I've got to give him it all. Whether it's a health problem, whether it's a financial problem, whether it's a marital problem, whether it's an emotional problem, I don't care what the problem is. I really don't. God understands. And God has already overcome the world. He is the solution to your problem. Amen. If that's you this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed, let's just take a moment. Sometimes it's hard to let go of the familiar. Do you know that? Sometimes it's hard to let go of the familiar. But God wants to set his children free. And he wants you to know that he cares for you. Hear me. Someone needs to hear that this morning. God cares for you. Cast, give me your burdens. Give me your cares. I care for you. He doesn't want you oppressed. He doesn't want you feeling weighed down. He doesn't want you to have that burden. You were never designed to carry it. It's his. Every eye closed, every head bowed this morning. If you're feeling any weight around you, if you have any burdens, if you're not in a place of rest, a place of peace, you lift up your hands before the Lord this morning. I'm going to believe that your God, my God, is the only one that can set the captive free. He's the one that sets the captive free. Only he can bring peace to my soul. It's in a person called Jesus. Oh God. Father, you see our hands raised this morning. We come to you, Father, humbly because we know you love us. You love us. You care for me. You care for me. When others mightn't, you still care for me. When others let me down, you don't let me down. Father, this morning, I give my burden to you. I place it at the foot of the cross. All of it. All of it, Jesus. Take it. Lord, I feel weary. Refresh my soul this morning by your presence. Help me to come into my secret place. Help me, Father, to sing a song to you in the midst of my trouble. Help me to worship you in season, out of season, whether I'm up, whether I'm down, whether I'm in, whether I'm out. Help me to worship you so my confidence in you and you alone will anchor my soul. Help me to be a light to others in the midst of my darkness, to reveal the Christ. Help me. Help me. Father, I thank you. You are faithful this morning to take it away and deliver me that I might experience your rest and your peace eternally. I believe that. Help me to walk by faith so the promises can be mixed with faith and I can walk into everything you have for my life. In Jesus' name, if that's you this morning, say amen. Hallelujah. Your God, my God, wants us to bring us into that new place in Him. Amen. And as the church moves forward and the world moves forward in its ways, you and I will need that rest and that peace more than ever before. Amen. I don't know where you stand with it all, but the Bible says that before the great tribulations is going to be called the days of sorrows. I really believe we're experiencing the beginnings of the days of sorrows, where man will think that he has the right to tell another man how and what to do. That they can ban Christianity. They reneged on that. But hear me. They're just testing the waters. They're just testing the waters. Amen. We better have His peace and His rest in these days ahead. Glory to God. God bless you. You successful, wonderful people, in Jesus' name.